Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to San Clemente Punk for the 4th of November, 2013. Tonight we will be joined in the second hour by Jason Navarro. Jason was originally of the Suicide Machines, Left in Ruin, now of Hellmouth, which is his thrash metal outfit. Very, very good band. And as well as Break Anchor, which is another great band. I want to call them more like emotional punk rock, not like emo, but, you know, more soul-searching and honest punk rock. Very, very good punk rock band, though. We're going to start off tonight, though, with a live version. I happen to have been lucky enough to be sent by a couple friends of mine some live recordings from the Elks Club in Atlantic City, where, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia, so we'd drive down there. We'd go just about anywhere for a good show. And Black Flag played the Elks Club down in AC way back in the 80s. This is a live recording of Six Pack at that show.
None of the secret word.
Okay, that was Black Flag with Six Pack. It was a live version of, you know what, I'm going to play TV Party Live from that same AC thing, because I happen to like it.
Hello, hello.
Okay, it was actually the same concert. That was a live concert that Black Flag did. That's why it's so grainy and everything. It was a live recording back in the 80s. That was live at the Elks Lodge in Atlantic City. I wasn't actually at that show. I wish I had been. But I was at a lot of shows in the at the Elks Lounge or the Elks Lodge in Atlantic City. Whenever I convinced my parents I was staying at my friends, and he could convince his parents that he was staying in my place long before the advent of cell phones. We're going to move on now to a band that is referred to often as one of the founders of hardcore punk, along with contemporaries like Black Flag, The Germs, bands like that. They've been around since 78. DOA, our Vancouver, British Columbia band. They are still around, although they're doing their final tour now. Joey Shithead's the only one left in the band that was from the original. Original was Joey Shithead, Wimpy Roy, or Brian, who was Wimpy Roy, and then Dimwit, Keith Montgomery. They were They were actually the Skulls first, and then, you know, the Skulls broke up and Joey Shithead formed DOA. Chuck Biscuits actually played for him for a while, but this is DOA with, which one do I have on here? Fucked Up Ronnie.
You're fucked up, Ronnie. You're not gonna laugh. You're gonna die soon. From the door. You're fucked up, Ronnie. You're fucked up, Ronnie. You're fucked up, Ronnie. You're fucked up, Ronnie.
Okay, DOA, Fuck Up Ronnie. We're going to move on now to a band that was started in, they started out in Cincinnati, Ohio in 1988 with Jerry Teal, Bob Burt, William Gilmore, and Peter Aaron, or William Weber, rather, and Peter Aaron. Peter Aaron and William Weber and Bob Burt are the consistent members. They are still around and playing. I interviewed Peter Aaron a while back. A very, very good musician, very gifted band. Let me see, where is it? See if I can find it. But the Chrome Cranks have been around for quite a while. They originally, like I said, started out in Cincinnati, but then moved to New York. They're very garage, punky, not street punk or anything like that. I really like these guys. This is Chrome Cranks with Dead Man's Soup.
Thank you.
Okay, that was the Chrome Cranks with Dead Man's Suit. I really like those guys. They're kind of in the same vein as, a lot of those glam punk bands back in the early, late 70s, early 80s, New York Dolls type things. Kind of the same vein. I'm going to play two, because it's Mega Jimmy from Serial Killers. Serial Killers, by the way, just had if you go on Facebook, you can look up Philadelphia Serial Killers, the only band that splatters. They were doing shit long, long before GWAR. These guys are just, I really can't even categorize them. The band was Paul Bear, Tim Omen, Robin Graves, Randy the Rapist, Mayhem, Tony Iommen, Tom Bates, Rick Bremer, Playboy Danny Heist, Phil and Blood, Bloody Rich, and then Mega, which is Mega Jimmy, who happens to be, I interviewed him for the show, and happened to be a really good guy, a really good friend. They recently just did their reunion show. I'll talk more about that in a second. This is the Serial Killers with, where is it? And it won't load up. As soon as I can get it to load up. This is Serial Killers with Teenage Bloodlust. Okay. That was the Serial Killers with Teenage Bloodlust, and they actually reunited after 23 years recently, and they had three albums or three shows in the Philadelphia area. They're trying to put out the Roadside Rendezvous, re-release that, and originally that album actually came out with A Bag of Dirt from Gary Heidnik's. Gary Heidnik was a famous serial killer in Philadelphia. I remember watching the TV and then digging up the basement of his yard and everything. But Mega Jimmy is actually fronting another band called Double Penetration. This is Double Penetrations with Schizophilia. Is a band that started out in 1989 by Dave Smalley, who was formerly of DYS and Dag Nasty. And they actually recorded between 89 and 99. They recorded 8 albums. The band broke up in 99. But in 2008, Dave and Sam Williams started playing again. The band consists currently of Dave Smalley, Sam Williams, Kevin Cross, and Jack Criswell. They just put out their newest album, which is right there. Anyway, newest album is Champions at Heart, and this is the first song off the Champions at Heart album. This is Bullets.
Get up off the ground. Nearly broke, that's no joke. Let's spend it.
Okay, that was Down by Law with Bullet. Dave Smalley's actually doing some of his own stuff too. He was, you know, he had a successful Kickstarter campaign with his punk rock days comp and everything. But he's doing a lot of his own stuff. You know, so check out anything that guy does because he's successful at anything. This is Drug Lords of the Avenue out of San Francisco with This Is a Pig.
This is a pig!
What you do to me?
This is a pig!
What you do to me?
This is a pig!
What you do to me?
This is a pig!
What you do to me?
This is a pig!
In the middle of a second biggest baby boom. Keep knowing that boy that just they got this soon. I'm looking for a joy in my way, sister. Big money and a family don't count, mister.
I'm a dirty, I'm a dirty.
This is a big with a good amount. I jumped around.
Forever.
Without a sound.
Forever.
You do. Don't turn around. I jumped around.
Forever.
Without a pound.
Forever.
You do. Don't turn around. I'm off the ground.
Forever.
With what I found.
Forever.
You do. Don't turn around. You smoke the brown.
Forever.
I thought you frown.
Forever.
You do. Don't turn around. All my life has been swamped and pretty sugary as I just. When I get some, don't make an erection. When I have a best of such direction.
I'm doing it, I'm doing it.
This is a big what you do to me. I jumped around.
Forever.
Without a sound.
Forever.
You do. Don't turn around. I jumped around.
Forever.
Without a bound.
Forever.
You do. Don't turn around. I'm off the ground.
Forever.
With what I found.
Forever.
You do. Don't turn around. You supposed to frown.
Forever.
And don't you frown.
Forever.
You do. Don't turn around.
This is a pig.
What you do to me?
This is a pig.
What you do to me?
This is a pig.
What you do to me?
This is a pig.
What you do to me?
This is a pig.
What you do to me?
This is a pig.
What you do to me?
This is a pig.
Okay, that was Drug Lords of the Avenue, who is, by the way, fronted by Johnny T-Bucks, who is in Swinging Utters. We're going to move on now to a band out of Detroit that never really got its due until recently when they're doing a movie about it. The band's called Death. It was three brothers out of, let me see if I can, more about these guys, yeah. It was three brothers that started in 1971, Bobby, David, and Dennis Hackney. Three black brothers who were told that their music just wouldn't play. Being from Detroit, you know, and the R&B sound and everything, they're black, so they should be playing R&B. Well, these guys were, I mean, they were before even the Bad Brains, which is one of the greatest punk bands ever, you know, but they were, you know, were looked at and, oh, you guys are black, and they were stereotyped by these record companies and everything, and they were told that, you know, nothing would ever happen. So David actually put the recordings away in an attic, and then he found them a couple years ago, and there's actually an independent film called A Band Called Death that was released in 2012, and I really hope you guys go and see it, or at least look on YouTube for the trailer. But it was it premiered at the Los Angeles Film Festival, and I was lucky enough to get a copy of Death's demo. This is Death with Politicians in My Eyes.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, now!
Thank you.
That was the 5 minutes of it anyway. It's actually 11 minutes long. 11 minutes and 47 seconds. You guys should check it out. So A Band Called Death. It's a great movie. It talks about those guys and how those guys are really marginalized by the fact that overwhelmingly that area, that Detroit, was run by R&B. We're going to move on now to Gorilla Biscuits, New Direction. Is a band out of Santa Rosa, California. It is named after the Roanoke Park neighborhood that bears, I don't know why they call it M Section, but the name of the neighborhood. Anyway, this is M Section with Swimming in Flannel.
Liquor, I'm gonna be sicker. Coming, time of life. Wake up, man, in the back.
Okay, that was M Section. Like I said, those guys are out of Santa Rosa, California. The band consists of Brian, Brandon, Nick, and Matt. I suggest you guys check those guys out. They have a Facebook page you can look into. Longshot just came out with, and Longshot is Robert Norberg, Jeff DeBron, Mike Nierenberg, Ryan Kelly, and Tyler Kershaw. They're a Boston-based hardcore band. I love these guys. I love this, what they've got. They just recently put out a new album. It's called Four. It's on Morse Code Recordings. Not Morse Code Records, Morse Code Recordings. They just put out their new album. Where the hell is it? It's Four Live. But this is Longshot. Actually, it's just called Four. This is Longshot with my favorite song by these guys. This is Words to the Wise.
I miss the day! We'll be right back.
Okay, that was Long Shot. Check those guys out on Facebook. You know, originally they had, I thought that they had broken up, but they hadn't, or they took a hiatus, rather. So Swa, or whatever, started when Chuck Dukowski started that band with a couple of his friends. The bands, they somehow got their name by rolling dice. They you know, each number signified a certain letter in the alphabet. But anyway, Chuck Dukowski tried to reform Worm, which was his first band. So he instead formed Swa. This, and there's a lot of things I could say about Swa. It was Chuck Dukowski and Greg Cameron and Roy Cooper or Ray Cooper. Anyway, this is Swa with I love this song. It's 100 bottles of beer.
Right here, go home! Nicaraguan style!
Okay, guys, we're about 5.5-6 minutes away from getting Jason Navarro on. Jason Navarro, of course, from currently at Break Anchor in Hellmouth, was the original, well, was the singer of the Suicide Machines and Left in Ruin. So I'm really excited to have him on. Next week, I'll have Erie Vaughn on. Erie Vaughn, of course, from Samhain, or Samhain, as they're commonly called, the band that Glenn Danzig formed after he left the Misfits, and then Erie also played bass for Danzig, the band Danzig. This, though, is the Misfits with London Dungeon.
Cause holy living dead.
Okay. This is, where is it? Unit F with Ride. Okay, guys, we're going to play really quickly the Pagan Babies, Stories of Old. When we get back, though, we should we'll have Jason Navarro on currently Break Anchor and Hellmouth, formerly the Suicide Machines. So enjoy the Pagan Babies, and we'll be right back.
Oh,
Okay, welcome back to San Clemente Punk, proudly part of the Fighting Words Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. Tonight we're truly fortunate to have Jason Navarro as our guest. Jason cut his teeth in Jack Kevorkian and the Suicide Machines, a band that led the charge in what is called the third wave of ska, and they were also named one of the top 10 most influential punk bands by Alternative Press. With the band's demise, Jason continued on with Left in Ruin before 2008 saw Hellmouth, another hugely influential band. A decidedly different sound than previous bands, Hellmouth is a straightforward thrash punk band. Now Jason is touring with his new band, Break Anchor, a band I was lucky enough to catch here in Salt Lake City. Please join me in welcoming Jason Navarro. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time to join us tonight.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. Jason, a friend of mine told me to ask you this. He wanted to know if you're related to Dave Navarro. You must get that a lot.
Nah, man. You know what, dude? It's like Smith in Mexico, or even in California for that matter, Arizona, you know? It's like the last word, you know, it's like the last name Smith, you know? So no, nah.
Right.
I'm not as pretty as him, man.
Okay. Well, Jason, first, when did you first start to indulge your love of music?
Like, what do you mean by that? Like playing or just like getting into music?
Getting into music, playing, you know, when was the first time that you really realized that you had a great love for music?
I had a couple of weird first moments. One was my mom and aunt blaring the MC5 over the stereo. Like, I just remember it, you know what I mean? Like, I knew the songs as a kid just from hearing them play it all the time. And I remember being, like, weirded out because it said motherfucker, because they'd always play that one song. You know what I mean? And so I, like, have this weird memory of that from being a kid. And then and AC/DC, too, for some reason. And then, like, I remember seeing, like, a video somehow at my aunt's house because she, like, had money and had MTV when it first came on. And I remember watching a video, an AC/DC video with Bon Scott. And I know it's such a weird person to look at and go, yeah, kind of like that's what I want. I know it sounds dumb because you would never think that for what I do now. But like Bon Scott was, I just have these weird memories of like stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like seeing that dude and going, fuck, that's, I want to be that dude with the jean jacket and no t-shirt on and ugly as hell. Rocking. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I have no idea why, but those are like two memories that really stick out in my head, like really liking music at first. So I'm not really sure. I mean, no, it's not very punk sounding, but that's just kind of like what I remember like at first.
We all follow different paths, you know?
True.
Yeah. Now, so, is there anyone in your family? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, bro. No, seriously, shoot.
I was going to say, is there anyone in your family that you can point to as a source of your talent?
No, none. No one in my family is musical at all. My stepdad was kind of like a biker, and he knew all the musicians in Detroit, you know, and I was a pretty bad kid, and I remember he, like, I don't know, I think he thought, I went over to one of his friend's house, like he went to go buy some weed or something, and I remember seeing a guitar and being really stoked. I was pretty young, and so I think his thought was, hey, maybe I'll buy him something, you know, and he probably figured, he asked me, you know, and I said bass, I guess, because it seemed easy enough. And so he actually somehow hustled a bunch of money, because he's pretty poor and broke all the time somehow, and got me a bass and amp, you know, so I mean, really, my stepdad kind of pushed it, you know, just buying shitty-ass bass and amp. So regardless of him being a fucking junkie biker, man, he's kind of cool like that sometimes, you know?
And he didn't play at all himself?
No, not at all, man, not at all.
Huh.
So, no musical influence in my family at all.
Huh. Weird, okay. So you grew up in Detroit, a town that is more well-known for R&B and such, but, you know, you mentioned MC5. It's a town well-known for, you know, a melting pot of different musical stylings. did this exposure, you know, to like MC5 and AC/DC, how did that help form your musical stylings?
Well, I mean, dude, you grew up around Motown, too. I mean, dude, the Motown sound is just, like, a heavily ingrained influence regardless just from living here. I mean, it's what's on the radio half the time and all the channels, you know what I mean? So, like, you grew up around Motown, too. I don't know, man. I mean, it's hard to explain. I mean, even in, like, fifth grade, I was listening to this crazy DJ called the Electrifying Mojo, and he was playing, like, really early hip-hop before it was even probably even deemed or called hip-hop, you know what I mean? So I was always listening to the radio, you know, I'd turn on my radio at night when I was supposed to be in bed, you know, going to getting ready for school, and so I'd always have something on playing. But I don't know, man, like, I don't so much know that the rock and roll influences you around here as so much as more so does kind of what you grow up in around here. Like, all of our dads are factory workers for the most part, and our moms, so we kind of, you just grow up in that kind of, it's a different kind of world to grow up in, you know what I mean? It's, I can only compare it possibly to something I would assume, like, Pittsburgh, where you grow up in the steel industry, like, that's where all your families go to work, you know what I mean? So it's almost like stuff like that influences, I think, what comes out of here more so than even the rock and roll itself or the past roots. I mean, you know, that's, look at the MC5, they're dirty and angry. It's kind of the same scenario, kind of, like, probably what influenced them is, you know, it pushes a lot of people now, you know?
No, I hear you. I mean, I grew up in Philadelphia, so, you know, you were expected to do whatever your parents did or something close to that.
Sure. Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's...
So, I mean, that would make sense. A lot of people go on to do what their parents do, you know what I mean? And that's how it is here. It's the exact same thing, except you're stuck in a fucking factory. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to swear.
No, you can. This is totally uncensored. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah, so, no, you're right, and it's tough because, you know, just touching really quickly on Detroit, I mean, having grown up there, you've seen a lot of change, you know, and a lot of change recently, and not for the better.
You know, it's a little bit of both, man. I mean, it didn't seem dangerous to me, you know what I mean? Because you're a kid.
Right.
So my dad's house was over off of, like, Southfield and Joy, which is, like, Herman Garden Projects area, you know, and I was supposed to go to Cody High, which is, like, probably one of the first high school in the United States to even have a metal detector. You know, and so to me, I mean, like, Detroit was very racially divided, too, which didn't help, but I didn't really see that as a kid. Like, a couple of kids into my, when I first moved in that neighborhood, it was like, I didn't see a black kid. I just saw a kid. I wanted to play, and I, you know, I'm pretty sure he probably thought the same thing, you know? And so that being said, I mean, I just feel like Detroit is just, it's weird, man. Like, it's changed a lot. There's no doubt. It's more violent, unfortunately, due to the fact that it's just so it's just so easy to get guns now in this city. It's like, no, there's no regard for, like, these people just aren't being human anymore when it comes to respecting life. You know what I mean? It's really messed up. It's weird because you see the city being rebuilt and companies buying into the city and all these certain areas getting nice, and then just the other neighborhoods are just getting just worse and worse, you know. So it's really hard to say, but I mean, I've seen the city change in a million different ways. So but I don't know, man. I mean, we could sit here and talk for hours about that because, dude, the change here is just—it's insane how much it's changed in just the couple of years. Even there's a certain neighborhood that used to be called Cass Corridor. And it was such a bad neighborhood, and now these rich people bought into it, and they're trying to figure out how to make it, because it's around the college, and they're trying to, like, figure out how to make people not afraid of it and to buy into it, bring people like Whole Foods there. They actually changed the name of the area to Midtown, like, to even to try to, like, do a Jedi mind trick on people, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Pretty enough,
So So I don't know, man. Detroit is in such a weird flux right now, man, when it comes to – there's a lot of goods. There's a lot of goods, man. There's a lot of goods, but there's some bads too, you know.
Right. Well,
so,
Jason, how did you first find yourself drawn to punk?
You know, it was a lot of local bands, kind of. I mean, the first time I ever got heard of punk bands was you know, it was like anyone else. It was The Clash on the radio.
Right, right.
But I didn't know that was a punk band, you know what I mean? So I didn't even really understand. I just heard, could I stare, should I go, or whatever the hell it was. And to me, that,
right,
whatever, it wasn't very scary or anything like that. And then, you know, so I was listening to a lot of metal probably in about sixth grade. And then seventh grade, or sixth or seventh grade, our older brother, they're all, like, a couple of them got into punk. We didn't know what it was. We were just starting to skateboard. All had long hair still, and our friend's brother gave us this tape, and it had the first Suicidal Tendencies record, Circle Jerks, Group Sex, and I think Who's Got the 10 and a Half by Black Flag on it.
Right.
And we were just like, oh, dude, I mean, we just worshipped this stupid cassette for fucking like a year and a half, 2 years straight, just like, oh. And then Thrasher magazine kind of pointed me in the direction of like The Accused and Septic Death. So I'd order all these albums, and I thought, now this is what fucking punk rock is, because it was just pissed and crazy, you know? And I thought, oh, you know, okay, so this is punk rock, you know? And I didn't realize even who The Clash were listening on the radio, and I remember stealing a Clash. I stole the Clash Combat Rock cassette when I was like, I don't know, I was in like sixth or seventh grade. I went to a Kmart and stole it. I was like, dude, this is punk. I didn't even know who The Clash were, and then I came out, I'm like, this ain't punk. What is this shit? You know what I mean? Because I got so used to listening such aggressive punk, you know? But as far as that goes, I mean, at that point, it really opened my mind to, like, punk rock. And so I ran into all these, like, punk skaters that were older than me through skateboarding around seventh grade. And they're like, oh, you got to come to a punk show, kid. Like, they're just trying to bring us in. You know, they're cool. They were trying to rope us in because they were like, oh, these skater kids, oh, they know – you know, who's Suicidal, the Circle Jerks, and Black Flag are. We need to, you know, bring him in. And, dude, all the old bands in Detroit, like all the old punk bands, were fucking phenomenal. And so we just kind of got off more on, like, the local scene, you know what I mean? Like, I grew up knowing more at first who, like, the local bands were than, you know, the general, you know, of the general public of the United States or England or any of these other countries knew what was punk because, I don't know, I just didn't care to look any further than what I had in Detroit, you know what I mean? I liked all the local bands, so slowly I started opening up my mind and, you know, getting into GBH and Crass and stuff like that, but, you know, at first it was just like local bands is kind of where it was at, so that's right. What we would do. That's kind of how we got into it.
Well, first, who were the founding members of, well, it was Jack Kevorkian and the Suicide Machines, but, you know, commonly called the Suicide Machines, and how did you guys form?
Me and, you know, Dan and I started it, right. The guitar player, Dan Lukaszynski,
right.
And we used to hang out a lot. He used to work at this 7-Eleven by my house. I didn't even know who he was, you know, and he's like, oh, you like punk on? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you want to buy these Doc Martens? And I was like, yeah, I don't care. You didn't even look like a punk dude. I'm like, yeah, sure. So I bought some Doc Martens off him, and he's like, ah, you know, what are you listening to? And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know, Negative Approach and Operation Ivy and you know, and Specials and Fishbone. And I kind of was just starting to get into ska and ska punk, and that was probably 89, 90 maybe. And he's like, wow, what's this, you know, what's this? And I played him Operation Ivy. He's like, holy shit, what is this? And I'm like, it's cool, right? I'm like, it's good. And like, it's sort of ska. And, you know, and he knew what ska was. He's like, no, this is punk. I'm like, yeah, no, it is punk. And he's like, fuck, I got to learn how to play that on guitar. And I'm like, well, I play bass. I'm like, I don't know how to play any of these bass lines. They seem insane, but, you know, let's try it. And so we started writing, you know, some songs originally as a three-piece. So he was singing and I was singing, playing bass, and then I just kind of like, at that point I'd seen so many cool bands like Judge and GBH,
right,
and all these other bands, like, you know what, I just want to be the singer, you know what I mean, and get someone to play bass, like, we need to do that, just gets into it with the people. And he was just like, all right, cool. And that was just kind of it.
Okay. Well, you know, there's a misconception about, you know, why the Jack Kevorkian name was dropped. But, you know, and people think it was due to legal reasons. And although it's got a little bit to do with that, you know, it was just because there was a lot of confusion with the name, correct?
Yeah, a lot of it did have a lot to do with the name. Like, just we'd show up places and they'd write Jack Kevorkian. Of course, they could never spell Kevorkian, so that was always wrong. You know, and so, yeah, I mean, totally. You know what I mean? Like, they would either call us the Suicide Machines, or they'd call us Jack Kevorkian, and they'd call us Kevorkians, the Kevorkians, Jack Kevorkian. And it's just like, dude, it's Jack Kevorkian and the Suicide Machines. Just, right. No one could ever get it right. Sometimes we played Eastern Michigan College one time. And, like, all these people showed up thinking, like, Jack Kevorkian was going to be there. Like, I don't know, doing some sort of, like, thing where, you know, speech or something, you know. And so it just kind of got ridiculous. And then right before we released Skank for Brains and Split the Rudiments, they were like, hey, you should try to get the name cleared so we don't get sued. And I just got a hold of his lawyer, and his lawyer was like, yeah, if you know what's good for you, or not even, you know, if it's good for you, like, you really can't use his name. You know, and I was like, okay, whatever, fuck off, and just hung up the phone, and we released it anyways under Jack Kevorkian, and then just kind of, like, we started growing as far as, like, lyrically. We started growing a little bit more mature, and we also started doing a lot more, like, things around here, like, playing to, like, get stuff for soup kitchens and women's shelters, and I don't know, I mean, it just became slightly more serious, and then finally, we just said, you know, everyone calls us the Suicide Machines for the most part anyways, or the Machines. Let's just stick with that, you know. So,
now,
which in the long run, it probably would have been any better anyways, because we probably would have gotten sued. But
now, the Suicide Machines were touring in support of War Profiteering is Killing Us All. When the band abruptly broke ties, you know, kind of went on an instantaneous hiatus, how big of an effect was the constant touring on that decision?
You know, man, that was kind of like the thing. I you know, I was raising a family. I was away from them all the time. I really wasn't making enough money to support them. I had no health insurance. And it just got to the point where I was like, I can't really tour anymore like this. I can tour once in a while. It's cool. And, you know, Dan was not stoked about that. And that's understandable. And I was just like, you know, the side one's cool. They'll keep, you know, releasing albums. The other two guys will join back in the band now. They said they would. And he's like, all right, when we were, like, kind of trying to decide at that point if we were going to, you know, stay together and keep doing some stuff after the fact instead of breaking up. And then we got into a huge, like, blowout argument. So that was that.
Okay. Jason, I want to play a song from the Suicide Machines. And this was a very, very tough decision because there's so many great Suicide Machine songs. But I want to play Red Flag. Could you tell us a bit? That's my favorite song by you guys by far. Could you tell us a bit about the song? Oh, I love this song. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, the whole thing was at the time is like, I mean, even the cover of that album isn't the right album cover. It wasn't an elephant in the middle of the album cover. It was George Bush's head. And everyone thought that would, like, date us, I guess you could say.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't want to, like, a lot of people look at, you know, Dead Kennedys albums and stuff, and they feel like they're just dated.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, like, they felt like we needed to have something different on the cover, but we liked the concept of it. And then, I don't know, Jimmy, who is actually the dude that almost won, I don't know what the hell it's called, Ink Master or whatever, the guy who painted that cover. But anyways, I don't know, man. It's just really just about opening your eyes and looking at, like, what's going on. And, you know, like, people just don't really read. The idea of it is, like, everyone was, like, watching all this shit, and there's this war, and it's like no one gets that, like, a lot of this has to do with, the corporations and stuff and protecting American interests and corporations in other countries and making money. And it was so, like, obvious to see, like, it's right in front of your fucking eyes the whole time, you know what I mean? Like, it's right there. How can you not understand this is, like, what's happening, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And it's just further, you know, people are just getting, you know, so insanely rich these days now, too. It's just becoming to the point where, you know, I mean, a lot of people sit there and say, oh, class war, that'll never happen, or why, and what's the point, and, you know, the pros and cons, and mostly it's cons, and it's like, I don't know, man. It's getting to the point where I'm not really sure what else could be done anymore besides
yeah.
the class war. You know what I mean? It sounds ridiculous to me to even fathom the thought of that. But
yeah, hold that thought because we're going to – I'm going to touch on that because I love how political you write your songs, and I'm a huge political punk, so we're going to touch on that. That's something I really want to drag out of you.
Okay.
So, okay, this is Suicide Machines with Red Flag.
Drop out of mainstream society now. Think about the war that was going around. But for all the sake in this capitalist game, how can this ignorant mentality remain? Yet together we must stick to avoid a catastrophe. This is the truth that we'll throw down the kids. We gotta rise up and play a part. Rise up against this corruption. Rise up and play a part. Rise up against this corruption. Broken high places exercise among men. And the players are fools. The power they defend. Rich man, common man, defined by the gene. Want another brother, gotta be the capitalist machine. Get together, we must get to avoid a catastrophe. This is the truth that we'll throw down the kids. We gotta rise up and play the part. Rise up against this corruption. Rise up and play the part. Rise up against this corruption. What they don't wanna hear.
The voices of a million.
What they don't wanna do.
Proudly part of the Fighting Words Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. Tonight we're joined by Jason Navarro of Suicide Machines, Left in Ruin, Hellmouth, and now Break Anchor. Jason, again, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
No, you're stoked.
I want to jump ahead because what you know we were just talking about. I have this question later on in the interview, but it's very. I've always loved political punk. I mean, I'm 45 years old. I remember the Mises of Pig shirts. You know, and punk is meant to make a political statement without being political. And you and your lyrics strike a chord politically. And this is a question I ask a lot of songwriters like you. With punk always meaning to make a political statement without being political, do you feel that current bands shy away from politics, and in a time where, you know, we're spying on our citizens and never-ending wars cry out for songs to protest current trends?
Yeah, I think a lot of people shy away, you know what I mean? I really do, unfortunately. I you know, that's fine. People have their different opinions on what they think, you know, punk rock is or how it should be or what it is, but, I mean, the scene that I grew up in, right around the early 90s, I started hanging out at the Trumbullplex, which is basically like an anarchist, sanctuary. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It was before, you know, probably one of the oldest. That's not even a squat. I'm not really sure how to explain it. But, so I was always around things like Food Not Bombs and stuff like that when I was a kid. So I feel like a lot of people, it really does. They just, you know, I mean,
anyone can talk all the shit they want about a band like, say, Against Me, but you know what? Those people in that band fucking talked some serious shit and fucking did it in a very pop way. You know what I mean? And then turned around and pushed it on the mass media. I mean, there's no way that, I don't know. The Punks for Profit, I don't know anything about any of that. I'm just saying they put out some pretty serious, heavy songs and they made videos for them and stuff. I mean,
right.
They had some pretty fucking heavy, serious statements to make. It takes a lot of balls for someone to go to a major label and say, this is what we're going to do. And this is it. This is the songs. This is what we want to push. So I wish more people, would step up to the plate and say stuff like that. I mean, because we're musicians. Some of us are activists. Some of us aren't. And even if you're just a musician, not an activist, at least, you're making it aware, for people to open their eyes up and use their brain.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of people like to say music is an escape. And that's true, too. But you know what? I don't know. I feel like too much stuff just goes unsaid. And you know what I mean? So I'm not – I don't know. It's such a broad spectrum to, like, touch on this. I mean, we talk for hours on, all of it. It's so hard to, like, not – you know what I mean? I'm trying to, like – sit here and think how to like sum it all up in only a couple of minutes.
it's
pretty hard.
No, you're completely right. And I really, it's a shame because like there's a, I don't know if you ever heard of the band Beasts of No Nation out of DC. Love those.
I can't hear you. What was it?
There's a band called Beasts of No Nation.
No,
never heard of them. They're out of DC. You should look them up. Great band. And they sing, political stuff, and it's few and far that you hear punk bands that are singing that way. Again, they're saying, hey, we need to open our eyes and look at the shit that's being shoved down our throats.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think. I listen to a lot of like crust bands. That's kind of like
right. Kind
of what I get into, man. Like I listen to like a lot of new ones too, like Ottentot and Oil Tanker and stuff
right.
like that, but I just try to like, and that's cool. Hellmouth was slightly political too, but like my new thought with Break Anchor was, yeah, we have some songs about just regular life, but how can I like, put a really good idea or a message or just something out there for people to hear and go, I asked, this is like a catchy song, man. This is like, Green Day. Wait a minute. What the hell are these guys talking about? Oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, this is kind of heavy. You know what I mean? That was kind of like part of that. It's more to do so with the everyday American life, but there's some songs in there that touch base on a lot of the things. So, but the whole point was, a lot of the stuff I listen to is political. I mean, I still love bands like Drop Dead and stuff to this day, which is, animal rights activist band. You know what I mean? So...
Right, no, I hear you. Jason, now, getting back to my next question, tell us about Left in Ruin. Who was in the band, and was that always a side project, or is that what helped out the scene?
No, it was always just a side project. I just wanted to play guitar and play some rock and roll for a change. It's kind of like a breather. Like, everyone's like, oh, what are you going to do when you get old? I'm like, oh, I'm just going to play in a bar band. You know what I mean? It was like... play some rock and roll, and that was kind of like what Left in Ruin was. Is Ryan V, who also drummed in the Machines, Jeff from Hellmouth, my friend Dan from Flint, he was in like Dixie Hustler and played harmonica for like Whitey Ford or whatever is there, Whitey Morgan in the 48s, and played harmonica I think for Kid Rock for a while. And you know what I mean? He was singing and playing harmonica, and my friend John on guitar, and it was just kind of like our get together once in a while and play like just total like white trash rock and roll bar shows. It was pretty fun. That's what it was. You know what I mean? Like just, hey, let's go play the redneck bar. And that was kind of like what that band was.
Right. Okay. Now, how did you form Hellmouth and who is in the band and is that the original lineup?
Yeah, it's all original lineup, never changed. I don't know, man. I've been writing all these, like, crust songs that were too heavy for the Suicide Machines.
Right
at the end, and originally I was going to start, like, a DB kind of punk band, like, Econo Christy, you know,
okay.
Discharge, Disfear with Danny Lohr from Against All Authority. And then he just, you know, he used to move, he just lived too far away to make it possible. And so I'd been sitting on all these songs, and my friend Justin, who is the drummer for Hellmouth, and Jeff from Left and Ruin, you know, they loved, they wanted to play fast, fucking pissed off punk, you know. And I was like,
right.
Hey, I got all these songs, let me play them for you. So I sat on a guitar and played them. And I was like, yeah, I just want to sing though, man, because I want to, I want to get fucking crazy, you know. And they were
right.
Just like, oh, we know this guy, Alex. And he's like, he's in Coalition. I'm like, oh, man, the Straight Edge band? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, but he's not like that. He likes, like, punk. And I was like, oh, okay. And dude came over, and I never knew him, and I showed him the songs. He's like, dude, I fucking love this shit. It reminds me of, like, Disfear and stuff and Discharge, and I listened to a lot of that. And that was it. That was Hellmouth. That's how it became it. And then so all it was supposed to be was just a demo. So we demoed it, man, and that's all it was. Like, hey, let's do a demo and play a couple shows, and that's probably it. And so we did the demo, and we did a little teeny Midwest tour, and it was fun. We had a good time, and it was kind of like, all right, cool, that's done, you know, and everyone was having fun. We didn't say it was done, but we were kind of like, all right, cool, that's kind of all we came to do, you know, like we wanted to do this thing to where the whole point was we were going to play this really angry, pissed off music, but we were going to play with pop punk bands, emo bands, ska bands, indie rock bands, reggae bands in Detroit, and hardcore bands, and make everyone play together. So we booked these shows with five different bands. We're like, what are you doing? And we're like, we're gluing everyone together. Like, what do you mean? We're like, we're gluing everybody together. Watch. And we did it for about just over a year. Just like totally like almost, I know it sounds dumb, but it's almost like we rebuilt the scene in Detroit by doing that. And that was kind of like the goal of the band was like, fuck all these tough guys. And then we all need to be together regardless of genres of music because a lot of us think alike. We need our own sanctuary, our own people to be together with. And it's, you know, the division of people because of bands is just ridiculous. So we did all this shit, did that little Midwest tour, played in Detroit a bunch, kind of got things going. We're like, ah, cool. And then all of a sudden, like, Ferret Records called us. We thought it was like a joke. We're like, what? Who? Ferret Records? Wait, for real? Fucking, you're like, yeah, dude, we love this demo. And we're like, oh, okay. And so that was only a couple weeks after we released the demo because we'd been playing in Detroit for a while. And then we did the demo and did, like, just a couple, you know, little Midwest jaunt and then came back. And that thing had only been, I think, out for, like, a couple months. And so we kind of thought it was a joke. Like, we didn't really believe it because, I don't know, like, I didn't know much about Ferret. I just thought, like, hardcore, you know what I mean? Like, dudes in skinny jeans, like hardcore dudes, you know, like, you know, I was like, what? All right, well, cool. I'll be open-minded about it. Fuck it, you know? And like, we love it. We want to put it out. We're like, okay, so we wrote a record, and like, here's the record. And they're like, holy shit, this is great. And we're like, cool, you know, right on. And then we're like, holy crap, I can't believe we did a record, you know? So did another East Coast tour, and then, I don't know. Another record turned into another record somehow.
Right.
So, it just happened. I don't know, man. It was never supposed to be much more than the demo, man. It just kind of, I don't know. Now it's this weird fucking, like, cult in Michigan, no less.
There's a lot of people out here that like it, too.
Yeah, it's weird, man. I was in San Francisco at break. Dude, I was freaking out. I was on Haight Street in San Francisco at break anchor. We're driving down Haight Street because we're on tour, and our bass player, Chris, goes, dude, the fucking Hellmouth shirt. I was like, what? We've never been on the West Coast. I looked over, I'm like, holy fucking shit, this is a Hellmouth shirt. San Francisco, and that's nobody from Michigan, I don't think. I don't recognize that person. And everyone's like, holy shit, I can't believe you do that. Because, you know, Midwest, East Coast, that's about it. I mean, we played Fest, Gainesville, but, you know, we haven't really done anything significant as far as leaving our area. So it's really weird to see a fucking Hellmouth shirt on the West Coast. You know what I mean? It's a big, gigantic city. I happen to run into the one person wearing one.
That was your day.
Yeah, it made my day. It was cool, man. It was cool to see. I was like, no shit. It's fucking really cool. So.
Now, Hellmouth is, you know, it's got some political leanings. But definitely it's
the influences seem vastly different than the Suicide Machines. Had your influences changed over the time of your being in the Suicide Machines, or was this just the direction you were looking to move in?
You know what, man? I listened to, like, Crust and Real Pissed Off Punk in the beginning. Remember, I told you I was listening to, like,
right,
The Cues and Septic Death and Broken Bones and kind of stuff like that, and a lot of UK shit, you know, and, like, then the Suicide Machines went to Europe, and, you know, there's a whole, like, Crust scene in the U.S., too, like, you Counter Christ
right.
and stuff when I was a kid, but, like, then I went to, like, Europe, and I was like, oh, shit, like, we played all the squats, so we were playing with a lot of, like, political Crust bands and shit, and so I just kind of, like, I've always been into very aggressive punk, you know what I mean? And I never got a chance to do it. I was so fired up in the moment at the time listening to Specials and Operation Ivy, and that's kind of the Machines that came about. But I never really had that chance to, like, do something like this. And, you know, there's a little bit of a hardcore influence in there, too, just because, like, our guitar player listens to a lot of hardcore, you know. But, you know, I'd never had a chance to do that, and I thought, well, I've never been more angry in my life than right now.
Right.
And I've never felt so fucking hopeless ever. I'm like, this is the perfect time. And so I shit out probably some of the best lyrics I've ever written for any band, you know, for Hellmouth. So
right.
I'm pretty
now,
content with the lyrics. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how was Hellmouth received by, you know, your old fans from the Suicide Machines and Left in Ruins?
Well, you know, man, like, Left in Ruin never had fans. you know, I think people, you got to think, the last two albums were pretty aggressive for the Suicide Machines.
Right.
So a lot of the Machines people definitely liked Hellmouth. But we picked up a lot of people that were like, God, you're in the Suicide Machines? That band sucks. You know what I mean? Like, oh, isn't that a ska band or something? Yeah, I was a ska punk band. Like, oh. Like, I had people recently come up to me after, like, I've seen them at a million of our shows. And be like, dude, someone told me you're in the Suicide Machines. I'm like, yeah. Like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? So it was weird, like, starting over again in the band. And, you know, no one had the slightest clue. Because we were playing with, like, black metal bands and, you know, hardcore bands and metal bands and punk bands and this and that. And, you know, when we'd play within a crowd that would know who the Machines were, a lot of people come up there after me and be like, holy shit, you're the dude. Like, what the fuck is this? This is pretty angry, you know. And, you know, a lot of people also were like, hey, it makes sense. You know, those two albums are pretty fucking angry. So, and then, I don't know, recently I kind of felt like maybe I cheated the original people who really got into the Suicide Machines by making it too heavy. You know what I mean? I didn't know any other way on how to, not cheated, I didn't know any other way to come across but besides being angry to sing those songs. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I wish I could have figured out a different, and it's cool, I love all the songs, I like how angry it was, but I also feel like,
wait until she gets
I wish, I wish maybe, I could have figured out a better way to put it across at the time. You know what I mean?
I hear you. But, you know, honestly, for me, being a fan of the Suicide Machines as well as, you know, Hellmouth, I thought that there's a very clear line from, you know, Destruction by Definition to War Profiteering is Killing Us. And I would call it more maturity than anything else. I mean, yeah, you're pissed off, but we're all pissed off, you know. First you're pissed off because of the world around you and you don't understand it when you're a kid. And then, you know, when War Profiteering came out, you know, you're older, you're an adult, and you see all this stuff and you're like, you know, this shit's got to change instead of saying, well, let's just go get drunk.
Right.
You know,
and that's kind of where I was, what was that at the time. And, you know, just like Hellmouth was a very focused version of what you just said, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want to, like, I'm the guy who does want to, like, take all the guns and hide them up north along with a bunch of food,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, that's what Hellmouth had become for me, you know? I was just really bitter and angry. I didn't see anything changing, you know? And
you can sit there and say something as cool as the Occupy movement, at least let people know that we weren't happy with our government and everything, but at the same time, no, it was unfocused. It did nothing.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, what, the guys in Oakland trashed Whole Foods? Ooh, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was all pointless, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, it was really unpointed.
Yeah.
And unfocused. And it's cool. I mean, it happened, and I'm glad it happened. And I know a lot of times I'd go to Europe, and people were like, dude, why'd you vote for George Bush? I'd be like, what do you mean by that? I didn't vote for George Bush. And they were like, well, he's your president. I'm like, what? Yeah, but you get to vote for whoever you want. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people really thought like that. I've gotten those exact words before, you know what I mean? So at least, like, the Occupy movement maybe let the rest of the world know, like, you know, people are very unsatisfied here, you know? But, I mean, what did it really accomplish besides that, you know?
Right. Well, Jason, Hellmouth. You guys are still a band. You're still playing. Will we see a tour at all from Hellmouth?
You know, I would love to see one, but, you know, it's hard to say. I don't know. It wasn't like Hellmouth wasn't a band that was supposed to be much more than a demo. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's kind of like I don't know. I think it's not a band. I don't know. It's not a band that was really meant to be toured. It was more of a I can't explain it, man. It's like a movement here in Michigan. It was like just for the sole purpose of like kind of gluing Detroit back together.
Okay.
Right. You know what I mean? I mean, that was the exact mission of that band. You know what I mean? Like, so it's hard for me to even consider, like, I feel like I don't even know that I should be playing to the rest of the world other than Detroit with that band. I can't really explain the conscious thought behind that band and the four of us, but maybe I'll never rule it out, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, I want to play a song from Hellmouth right now. This was another tough song to pick, but I settled on Desperate and Violent, which is a kick in the ball song. Could you tell us a bit about it before I play it, please?
I feel like as humans, people are just getting worse and worse and worse. You know, I wish that we could go back to the hunky-dory days of, like, you know your neighbor, you hang out with your neighbor, everyone knows each other in the neighborhood, and you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you look at those corny TV shows, like Leave It to Beaver, and it's like, you know, I mean, you kind of wish things were like that, and now it's like, I don't even feel like I can trust anyone any further than I can throw them. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I just see how horrible humans are now become. It's just like no one respects like life anymore, you know what I mean? And so I just sometimes I wish I could either just be dead or just tear my eyes out and poke my eardrums with a knife so I don't have to like see or hear anything anymore. That's just fucking shit human garbage, you know what I mean? And that sucks, because I know that doesn't, I mean, I know there's plenty of great people on this planet, but I mean, dude, coming from a city like Detroit, it's like there's a drunk driver hit this couple the other day. The car wrapped around a telephone pole. The wife was killed instantly. Witnesses saw someone run up and steal the wedding ring off her hand.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's just like like you said, the older you get, the more and more you see just how fucking shitty human beings really are.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what that's about. It's just like, that's what it's about.
Okay. All right, well, this is Hellmouth with Desperate and Violent.
God, it's where you go, the more maggots surround. The powerless sheep is what we allow. My generation has driven to grow. Fucking complacent, we've lost sight of love. The unfettered heaven has fallen. It can't get any worse. Let our confession in life is suffering. Living in the fucking charge. When it all seems so hopeless, that's when I feel most violent pain.
Okay, welcome back to San Clemente Punk, proudly part of the Fighting Words Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. Tonight we're joined by Jason Navarro as our guest on the show, frontman for the Suicide Machines, Left in Ruin, Hellmouth, and now Break Anchor. If you have a question for Jason, please call in at 347-202-0832, or you can click on the free Skype link on the show's page. Jason, again, thanks so much for coming on.
Nah, this is cool, man. Thank you. I'm really stoked you're playing, like, other stuff from my other bands. You know, it's cool.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Jason, you currently have 10 records or more to your credit. How have you kept your musical drive alive?
You know, I mean, my tastes are eclectic. I'm sure you kind of figured that out just from,
right.
like, this discussion. You know what I mean? I love everything, like reggae and ska and metal and hardcore and crust and grind and hip-hop and country. And I can't live with – I have to have a little bit of everything in my life. You know what I mean?
Right.
So who knows? I might be singing lounge in Las Vegas one of these days, you know? I don't know. I enjoy music. I feel like it's the one thing that, like, sets me free, you know?
Okay. What led to the decision to form Break Anchor?
You know, I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of. I think what it was is I'd been listening to Banner Pilot a lot, and I thought, God, man, it'd be really fun to like play in a pop punk band again.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it'd be fun. You know, and I kind of miss it, just like fun. You know, band. And then like, so I started it with like one of my old best friends. Like, I was like, dude. Probably getting too old to play music anymore. It'd be fun to like call this the last band, hanging out with you. Tried my friend Rob out on drums, but he went on tour with Against the Grain, so he was gone, which led to Dan. But I ran into this. They pointed out this guy Kyle that liked the same music as I did. He didn't know anything. He didn't know like what he did. He had no idea who Jawbreaker was or Crimp Shrine or any of that stuff. And I was just like, dude. Check this out. If you like, you know, all this new pop punk, you're going to love this stuff. And so sometimes we wouldn't even, like, practice. We'd just start listening to records, you know what I mean? And
right.
sit around and listen to records. And so that just kind of became how it started, you know, just out of, like, missing it, just wanting that, like, I mean, I hate to point out something as pointed as, like, the Bay Area scene, but, I mean, I missed, like, you know, old Green Day and Nuisance and
right.
Crimp Shrine and, you know, and Jawbreaker, and I kind of missed all that, you know what I mean? I was, like, missing it at that point, and I really wanted to do something like it, you know, and play guitar again in a band, because I always wrote, but I never, you know, stayed on the guitar for all the other bands that I was in, except for Left in Ruin, and I just thought, I'm going to start a pop punk band, you know, no one else is doing that here in Detroit. I mean, nobody was playing pop punk at all, you know.
Right.
And I thought,
right.
you know, I'm going to do this. And so started it, and it ended up, you know, I don't know, being a hell of a fucking lot of fun.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned Jawbreaker, just off the subject real quick. I interviewed Adam Faylor a while back. He actually mentioned the Suicide Machines as an influence on him.
What?
Yeah.
That's weird.
yeah. You
that's
know, because even
cool.
on,
it's cool,
on
though.
Jay Church and, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah Jay Church is awesome.
Oh, so good. So good.
Man, totally.
But, yeah, so, you know, just want to let you know that.
No,
now,
that's really cool, dude. I mean, I fucking flipped out over that band. I love Jawbreaker, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
saw them a ton.
Oh, geez, those guys were so good. I actually have the demo tape they put out. I don't know how I had it, but I've had it forever.
No shit.
Yeah, the actual tape
that's
set.
Cool, man.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I dude, that was a huge influence on me for this band.
Yeah. Well, no, and you can tell. You can tell in the. Because, you know, this band is a far cry from Hellmouth, but a much more honest and searching band. And you can tell that, you know, that those influences exist. Tell us about the writing process for Break Anchor as opposed to Hellmouth or Left in Ruin or even the Suicide Machines.
Let's see. Well, it's weird. Like, the whole first, like, all the first 7 inches that are on that CD compilation that we put out,
right,
or all the 7 inches, I pretty much, like, I came to the band and wrote a lot of the stuff first. And Kyle wrote a couple songs, and then we definitely jammed and would change stuff a lot together. You know what I mean? Like, I'd come in with the structure, and everyone else would kind of like learn it, but add their 2 cents. And the structures would change a lot, and pieces would change. But I would come in with my songs, and we'd do them, and all of a sudden Kyle came in and wrote a couple songs. And I was like, holy shit, dude! Why didn't you like write songs sooner? You know what I mean? Like, he's a better writer than I am. I was just like, what the fuck? So he only wrote a couple songs on those first couple of 7 inches. Dude, all I got to say is wait to hear the new shit. We're doing demos right now for Fat.
Yeah.
Dude.
Okay.
It is fucking, if you like Jawbreaker, you're going to shit yourself.
All right. Can't wait to hear those.
I'm not even going to try to sit here and say that we don't try to rip them off. So we love them, you know what I mean? We love them. That's what we want to be, Jawbreaker. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a little bit more on the Fugazi side of things, I suppose, but just because of, the way we sing, but.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess the writing process has been a lot different for this album, too, because we actually have a couple songs that we definitely have, like, collaborated on vocally and, like, musically, like, meshing stuff together and gluing stuff together. But, definitely a lot more Kyle writing on this record. I'm really stoked because, he's a better songwriter than I am, man. Like, the songs that he wrote for this are way better than any shit I've written for this band yet, so.
The album Black Hearts and Blackouts is amazing. How well has it been received by your general fans, the fans in general? Not just Break Anchor fans. But,
You mean the Rolling Blackouts CD?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this much. Like, it seems like a lot of people like it. I don't know. Once again, I knew some people were going to like it. I knew some of the Machines people would probably end up liking it because it's sort of in that vein. But, I was kind of another one of those things where we started playing in the garage and just getting drunk and listening to music and like, yeah, dude, let's play some house parties, play some house parties. And we'd play house shows. I mean, that's all we did at first. We just played basements and house parties. That's all we did. And then, I don't know, man. It just kind of took off. I'm not really sure how. And all of a sudden I'm talking to like Aaron and Fat Mike. And they're like, hey, dude, we like love this shit. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's better that I don't try to do stuff, So
well,
it's all the stuff I've not tried doing turned out better than the stuff I actually tried doing.
Well, Jason, you've tour already with Break Anchor. Any plans for dragging your carcasses across the U.S. anytime soon?
April.
Okay.
For first couple weeks, first 2 or 3 weeks of April. So.
Salt Lake City.
Already. Probably because our booking agent. We actually now have a booking agent. So. Stormy Shepherd and Nicole. Booking us.
Left and
right. So. Yeah, I've done it DIY, did the whole last one. My friend Jay Crash from Crawl Space played all the crust spots and
right. This
and that. And then, like I said, all of a sudden it's just like, hey, dude, your band's kind of good. Like, oh, all right. Okay, cool. All right, let's fucking, sweet. Stormy, you want to book us? Cool. All right, fuck. Think we can get someone to put out a record? I'll call up Mike. See, yeah, we love it. What? I don't know how shit happens. It just fucking happens. You know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously,
right.
It's a little bit easier this time around for me because I've been around the block. But
right.
I don't know. I'm just happy people like it because I actually really enjoy it a ton. It'd be nice to like. I'm never gonna say when I'm gone. I'm gone. I mean, but it'd be nice to. I could be okay with leaving the world on this note. You know what I mean?
Right. I guess.
Right. I would love to do a farewell Machines tour. It'd be cool.
Oh,
I think at this point I'm pretty focused on Break Anchor. I'll never say never. I'll never say there won't be a Hellmouth tour, because it's very possible. It's just something we've never really thought of. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, all the times we've gone out east, it's just been dudes asking us to come out. Oh yeah, sure, we'll come out and play. You know, that's about it.
Right. Stormy's an accomplished booker. I mean, she's damn good at what she does. So.
Yeah. Well. Nicole's cool too, man. So.
Yeah.
She knows. I was like, hey, we just play squats pretty much, houses and shit. They were like, nah, it's cool. So I'm pretty excited that she's into it. We're talking and we talk, and I was like, hey, you down to book us? And she's like, hey, yeah, totally, of course, Jay. And Nicole's like, oh, me and Nicole do it. And I was like, fucking, it's so cool, awesome. So I don't know, man. I've been very fortunate to have a lot of really cool people I've met along the way, you know.
Right. Well, Jason, you've been in some highly influential bands. You've toured the world. You've raised a family. What's next?
Death.
Is there anything you think? do you think you've left any stone unturned?
One of these days, I think I'm gonna hit some hip hop and do a reggae band.
Right.
Or maybe, like I said, I'll be singing lounge in Las Vegas. But I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, I just want to keep putting out music. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even care what kind of music. Just whatever I'm feeling at the time, I just wanted to do it. You know,
right.
There's no rhyme or reason as to why I do it. I just do it. I don't know why. I just can't stop. I don't know.
Okay. Well, Jason, it's been a great pleasure getting to know you over this hour. I want to give you the last few minutes to give any shout-outs, any thank yous, any kind of statements you'd like to make. Say hi to your kids, whatever you want to do. Also, if you could please tell us where we can find any of your bands online and any tour plans. The floor is yours.
The floor is mine. Well, I mean, I could be wrong about it, but I believe that Obama was an intern in the Kissinger realm area of government. So I think a lot of people really should really look into their candidates before voting. At this point, I've gotten to the point where I don't vote. I'm done voting. When I saw him as a candidate and I looked at his background, I thought, you know what? I'm done with it. I can't deal with these people anymore. It's never going to be anyone. But, you know, my whole thing is, you know, it's just open your eyes, man. Just open your eyes. It's not hard to figure things out. You know, and it's getting ridiculous, dude. And as far as, like, gun violence, I live in Gun Violence Central. I live in Detroit.
Right.
You know, I almost feel like I have to carry a gun to live here, and it's disgusting. It's horrible in my gut to even feel like I should have to carry a gun to fucking live. And it's sad, and that's what's become, because humans have no fucking respect for life anymore. Not in my city. It's just sad. It's sad to see, like, people are fucking getting desperate. You know what I mean?
Right.
Something needs to be done in our country. You know, it does. And as sad as it is, I mean, dude, I almost want to have tears come to my eyes right now, but I don't want to not help other people in other countries, but dude, I mean, let's start taking care of our people and start trying to do something collectively to make this things better here in the United States, you know, and it's just ridiculous. And on top of that, I just don't even see, like, all these people, like, I don't understand why a person can't marry who they love. You know, that's another problem I have with, you know, a lot of the United States. You should be able to marry whoever the fuck you want. I mean, there's just so many things I could address with the closing statement, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need a lot more time, my man. I need a lot more time. Besides
okay.
that, I don't know. I don't like plugging my bands. I'll be out.
Right.
You'll see me around the block somewhere. You can find us online. Everyone's smart enough to dig around and find stuff.
right. Well, I want to finish off tonight with another one of my favorites, by this time by Break Anchor. And this song is so honest and brutally honest, A Failure of Epic Proportion. Could you tell us about that song before we play it, please?
I work in a freezer. I work like 12-hour days lifting super heavy boxes of dead animals and potatoes and stuff like that. I'm a vegetarian, by the way. It sucks. So 15 below to take care of my family. My body's destroyed from working this. I'm watching the world go to shit around me. On the news, in my city, my friends. And it's just getting, you just want to give up sometimes, you know what I mean? I didn't drink for the longest time. I was sober and clean for fucking a million years, and now I'm fucking full-blown alcoholic. And a lot of it is just because I can't stomach or handle the, you know, call me weak or not, but I don't know how to handle the day. Like, I come home, and it's like I quit touring to, like, be home and take care of my kids, but then I work all day, and I'm so sore and tired. All I do is go to bed. I'm angry. You know what I mean? Poor me, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? I know a lot of other people in the United States are going through the exact same thing.
Right.
And I knew a lot of people could relate. And then you see all these people fucking running this country into the ground, no less, fucking being led along, being pulled along by all these fucking corporations that, you know, a person's interest isn't in their best interest to, like, think of them as anything else besides profit. So they just fuck over humans. Like, look at Monsanto, for the most part. Yes, they do a lot of stuff that's kind of cool, but they also do a lot of shit that's fucked just to make money. It's going to get us sick. We wonder why we're sick. We spray chemicals on our fucking lawns. Kids have autism. I wonder why. You know what I mean? Cancer. I wonder fucking why. You know what I mean? It's just like, so all this shit was just building up one day, and I actually wrote that. I drive, like, this machine, and it's not a scissor lift, but it's like a, if a high-low lifted way up into the air.
Right.
It's called a picker. And one day I just fucking put a piece of paper up in the fucking 12 below, and I wrote every single lyric right then and there at my work and on this machine at work. And I could hear the guitar in my head, and I went home and played it. And then and that was that, man. I just felt like that's fucking how a lot of other people in the United States got to be going through something similar.
All right, well, Jason, it's been a real pleasure over this last hour. I really appreciate you coming on, and I'm going to email you on Facebook. I really appreciate you doing the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me, and man, respect, sincerely.
Bye-bye. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Okay, guys, this is Break Anchor with A Failure of Epic Proportions to end the night. Next week I have Erie Vaughn as my guest. Jason was an awesome, awesome guest, and check out Break Anchor, guys. We've all heard Hellmouth, we've all heard Suicide Machine, but Break Anchor, I'm telling you, they're going to kick your face off. This is Break Anchor with A Failure of Epic Proportion. Thanks for listening, guys.